Jomel once because I lost.
Yeah. We've been enjoying this kind of weather too down home in West Virginia. I called one of my friends up in Northwest Territory, Brother Gary Forney. I was complaining. It was 9 below 0. He just laughed. He said, I told him, I was praying for him. I said, it's 9 below 0. He said, it's the only time anybody prays for me is when it gets cold. And he said, we're in a heat wave. I said, really? He said, yeah, it warmed up to 21 below zero. I said, well, bless you. Be filled and warmed. Amen. I'm glad God didn't call me there. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see y'all. Take your Bibles and find, if you would, the book of Acts. The book of Acts. We're excited about being here this week in spite of the weather. Amen. I'm not too worried about the weather. Isn't it amazing, folks, that we only worry about the weather when it comes time to go to church? If the basketball team was playing this afternoon, we wouldn't worry about the weather.
Right.
Or your favorite football team, whatever. I thought it was interesting. All they were worried about at the Super Bowl last week was it going to snow? Who cares? You know, 10 years, 20 years from now, nobody will remember who won. You know, smile at me. I'm already wound up today. Amen. I was back last fall, you know, when they were playing the World Series, I was reading an article when the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. The average ticket price on Game 7 of the World Series was $761 a ticket. And there was people that paid $10,000 to go to one ball game, one ticket. And I got so indignant. Can you imagine what could be done for God? $10,000. And you know what's a sorry thing? If that guy was a Christian, I want to be right beside him at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
And scream in his ear, amen?
Yes, sir.
Some missionary needed Bibles and you spent $10,000. Smile, amen?
Yeah.
I've already warmed up today, amen? I come loaded for bear,
amen?
It's like when I walk through the door, I turn into a different person around here. Amen. My wife is looking at me like, we're in trouble. Amen. Acts chapter 1. I want to just talk to you this morning for a little while and get you ready for the morning service. Now, what time we need to be done, preacher?
I think
all good. We're good. Amen. Acts chapter 1. I've been studying this thing, folks. Listen, it's interesting what's going on in our world with missions. When you go back and study history, from the time when the book of Acts was written, there was 190 million people in this world. Now think about that. Only 190 million people. You say only. Well, compared to what we have now. 190 million people, half the size of the United States of America in population. But yet they did something that we have not accomplished. They reached their world with the gospel. Now, you follow the progression. It wasn't until 1830 that we reached the first billion. From the start of this thing to 1830, we reached the first 1 billion. But how this thing's accelerated now is amazing. From 1830 to 1930, 100 years, we went past then the second billion. But from 1930 to 1960, in 1960, 30 years later, we went past 3 billion. 1975, 15 years later, we went past 4 billion. 1989, just 14 years later, we went past 5 billion. 1999, just 10 years later, we went past 6 billion. 2011, 12 years later, we went past the 7 billion mark in population. You say, but preacher, there's a big difference between 190 million and 7 billion. Yeah, there is. But there is no difference in what God wants done. You still come back to Acts chapter 1. Now, I want you to see this. I'm going to set your mind. Acts 1 in verse 8, he said, "Ye shall, but ye shall receive power." Do we believe in the power of God today?
Yeah.
He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, I'm not a charismatic wing-ding 7-Eleven preacher. Amen?
Amen.
I believe that on May the 20th, 1972, when I knelt at the altar of the West Milford Baptist Church at 16 years old and asked Jesus Christ to save me, I received the Holy Spirit of God. And in that day, I received the power to do what? He said, ye shall receive power that when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, they got that commission. They got that challenge given to them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, go to Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 1 and notice what it says in Romans chapter number 1. Now, I just want you to set your mind towards something today. We have a task that we are to accomplish, and people say, well, it can't be done. Well, Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 8, what does Paul say to the church in the book of Romans? He says in verse 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the what? You know, if you follow the progression in Acts, when he gave them that commandment in Acts chapter 1, you get to chapter number 5, and they called them disciples in and said, you don't need to do this stuff anymore. You have filled this city with your doctrine. They were threatening them, don't do that. But they made the statement, said, you have filled this city with your doctrine. I wonder, is the testimony of Bethel Baptist Church that you filled this city with your doctrine? He said, but preacher, it can't. Don't give God no excuse, amen? The only problem is, the problem is not God, the problem's us. Amen? And I'm setting you up for the morning message. And then you get to chapter number 11 or chapter 8 in the book of Acts, and they refused to get any farther than the city of Jerusalem. And so God said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you do what I told you that you are to do. And he put a persecution upon the church in Acts chapter 8, and it says, and they were scattered abroad through all the regions of Judea and Samaria. And he said, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. Can I tell you some of the reason I think America is going through some of the problems we're going through right now? Is we got so comfortable with where we are and who we are, we quit doing what we're supposed to do. And God said, you don't want to do it voluntarily, I'll make you do it. And it still works, amen? One of our chaplains got deployed just a couple weeks ago. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but he hit the ground in Afghanistan a week ago Monday, emailed me on Wednesday. He said, preacher, I already had two people saved since I got here. It works. The problem's not God, it's us. So you get through Acts chapter 11, you get to Acts chapter 13, they send out the first missionaries, and they start going to all the world preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you come to Romans chapter number 1, and he said, and here's the testimony of your church. He said that your faith has been spoken of throughout the whole world. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Thessalonians, I believe it is. 1 Thessalonians. I'm just setting you up. 1 Thessalonians. I got something on my heart. I really want to see the Lord speak to us about. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. It wasn't just the church in Romans that he talked about, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and in verse number 8, I am looking for this day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 8, he said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Watch this phrase. So that we need not to speak anything. Wouldn't you like to knock on a door, Brother Ballard, someday and down the street in Ravenna, Ohio, and they say, hey, I've already heard that. I don't need to hear that again. You can't tell me anything I already heard. We got quiet. But you know what the situation in America today is? We're seeing a generation raise it up in America today that knows not God. And teenagers, I preach every year to a bunch of teenagers in camp, and it amazes me that you start telling the most simple stories in the Bible, and young people that have been brought to camp off the streets of cities, in these large cities in America, they look at you like, what are you talking about? They don't know it. Well, if they don't know it, it's not their fault. It's our fault that we've not taken it to them. I remember when I pastored back in West Virginia years ago, the lady in our family in our church, they hired a young lady to come stay with them. They both worked, and so they hired this lady to come stay with them, basically take care of their kids. And so the first day that they were that she was there, they sat down at night, got out their Bibles, got ready to have devotions with the family before they got ready to go to bed. And this young lady, 19 years old, looked at him and said, "What's this?" They started reading the Bible. She said, "I never heard that." 19 years old, never heard that. But that's what happened in this day and age. They filled their city. He said, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, "We can't go anywhere and say and speak anything. They've already heard it." See, the past demonstration shows us it has been done. They have reached this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now take your Bibles and go to Revelation. Love this part. You go to book of Revelation, chapter number 5. See, the past demonstration shows that it has been done. You could go on and read and read and read through your New Testament. They did what we have not done, that is reached their world. And they didn't have a airplane, they didn't have a motorized vehicle, they didn't have very little printed page, they didn't have telephones, let alone cell phones, they didn't have TV, they didn't have radio, they didn't have computers. God forbid, young people, they didn't have a computer, amen. Yet they did what we cannot do or have not done. I won't say cannot do, have not done. Now look here, you get to Revelation chapter 5. And, of course, you're after chapter 4, and we're out of here. Amen? Amen? In verse number 9, he said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God." Now watch this. By thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. When that multitude's gathered around the throne, he said they will be people in that multitude from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That means that when that day happens, they will have accomplished what God said to accomplish. That is, reach the world. Because when you reach the world, they will be somebody in that multitude from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Amen? Now, Brother Mel, what dialect did your family speak in the Philippines? Tagalog. But there's, yes, Ilonggo, Cebuano. Yeah, there's, somebody told me that there's like 103 different dialects in the Philippine Islands. So God's not just satisfied now, Brother Mel and his family saved. We got one Filipino to go to heaven. No, he said there's going to be some Filipinos, not just from people that speak Tagalog, but people that speak Ilonggo and people that speak Cebuano and speak every one of those other 100 tribal dialects up in the mountains and villages of that nation. So in order to accomplish that, we have to reach not just the nation and not just the people, but the different tongues. And even the kindreds, the different tribes, the different families. Hey, listen, I'm from West Virginia. I guarantee you, I live in the north of central West Virginia. You call the people in Beckley, West Virginia, you think you called a different world. Amen? We speak with a hillbilly accent. They speak with a southern hillbilly accent. Amen? I mean, even in West Virginia, there is a different kindred of people from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state. You go to the southern Ohio and you got more Kentuckians and West Virginians down there, amen. There are a bunch of hillbillies down there. I don't know what you all are, amen. See, the past demonstration says it has been done. The future declaration, God says, it will be done. I'm going to have a multitude around my throne that will praise me in the future from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. We have a missionary we work with just moved to Moldova. In fact, he's home right now on a short furlough. Found out in Moldova that part of the people, it depends on what part of Moldova you live in, part of the people speak Russian, and you go to another part, they speak Romanian. So this young man, in less than 2 years, has learned Russian and Romanian both. Why? Because you have to know how to reach the people. Smile. Now God said, I won't take time. You go to Revelation chapter 7, He says it again. You go to Revelation chapter 11, He says it again. You go to Revelation chapter 14, He says it again. He said, hey, not only did I prove to you it can be done in the book of Acts, I'm telling you and declaring to you it will be done before I gather that multitude at the throne. It will be done. One of the missionaries we have the privilege to work with is Brother Justin Levine, tremendous young man. He is in Kathmandu, Nepal. He is learning the Tibetan language to reach the Tibetan people of China, not just the Tibetan language. He's in the process right now. I got a thing from him the other day. They will have the book of Mark and the book of Romans translated into the Tibetan language by the beginning of the summer. But because they don't have it. But they're learning a language in the southern part of China in the Himalayan mountains called the Loa, to the Loa people. They have their own language. They're learning how to speak Loa, so that it's not even written down. They're learning it so they can speak it and then write it down, so then they can translate Scripture into the Loa language. To why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? And so they got to have the Word of God to get the faith they need to get saved, because God said, when I get to heaven, there's not just going to be some Tibetan people there. There's going to be some Loa tribal people there from Tibet. That's what this week's all about, folks, is getting it done. Now, here's the crux of the matter. Past demonstration says it can be done. The future declaration says it will be done. Now here we are in the present time. And we just got to get it done. It's our duty to get it done. Smile at me. It's our duty. Can I tell you, I'm about tired of people thinking that it's somebody else's responsibility to get the gospel to the world. I read you Acts 1:8 because that's what he said. Ye shall receive power. If you are saved, say amen. Amen. Then you have a personal responsibility to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Amen. Doesn't mean you have to move to the other side of the world, but it means you're supposed to be involved. Your duty, the whole duty of man is what? Fear God and keep His commandments, right? Amen. Is Acts 1:8 a requisite? A request from God to you? No, it's a command. When Jesus stood there in Mark chapter 16 and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, was He saying, well, now, if you feel good and it's not too much of a bother, and if mom and dad don't care if you go, go into all the world and preach the gospel? No, He looked at him and said, I don't care. Here's the deal. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a command. We were over at the motel this morning. We're trying to finalize, get ready to go. All of a sudden, this bing, 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 the sirens are going off. I mean, fire alarms going off. And all of a sudden, they came down the hallway and said, everybody has to go to the lobby. That was not a choice in the matter. Amen? So I don't want to go. Well, let's stay in your room and burn up. People were arguing with the people that owned the motel. Well, why do we have to leave our room? I thought, you're an independent Baptist. Got to be. Fire alarms going off. Fire trucks are pulling up. Guys with masks and tanks are going down the hallway. And you're arguing with the people that own the place about getting out of your room. I told the guy there at the desk, I said, these people must be Christians. He just laughed. But that's the attitude we have in our independent Baptist churches. The world is dying and going to hell. The alarm is going off. 7.1 billion earthquakes and storms and disasters all over the world. You know what God is doing? God is setting off an alarm. Hey, I'm coming. Get it done. Get out of of your comfort zone. Get up from where you are. Go do something. We're sitting here arguing with God. God, you don't understand. The economy's bad. Is it really that bad? When you can pack 70,000 people in a football stadium to watch a football game, the economy's terrible. Go to Walmart this morning, try to buy bread and milk. Well, they couldn't get out and go to church, but man, they went to Walmart to buy bread and milk. Go out this afternoon and try to get something to eat. Well, got quiet, didn't it? The alarms are going off, folks. You know, it amazes me. You see a lot going on. You know, because of what we do, you have information that floats around through my desk, and I see it all the time. And the one thing that was going across the email with our chaplains was that we had one guy that was supposed to be headed to Romania, and he got pulled out of there. And one of the reasons they were going to send a force to Romania is they have a plan in place to extract all the Americans out of Sochi, Russia, if there's a terrorist attack. And the closest joint base to that is right across the Black Sea in Constanța, Romania. We have a force of American soldiers sitting on that base today for one reason. That's to get them out of Russia if we have to take our people out of there. Should that not wake you up? Should it not wake you up that our president boldly declares that he don't care what the Congress says, he will get done what he wants done? Does that not scare you into doing something? Does that not send an alarm in your life? I read a thing yesterday. If it's true, it ought to make every American in this world mad that he is... through an executive order this week, unbeknownst to anybody else, relieved a lot of the restrictions for terrorists coming in our country. You know what God is trying to say? Wake up! I want you to get something done. What? Pack up food, put money in the bank? No. Get the gospel to the world. Did you read the letter from Brother Mickey here back in June? You all support Brother Mickey about them going over to the Congo?
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine 40 years? People been sitting there praying for 40 years for somebody to come, and there's Brother Mickey and those men. They show up there, and there they are. They're the answer to the prayer. 40 years. Hey, folks, listen. God is still working. God still wants to reach people. God still wants it to get done. The problem is not God. The problem is us. Yes, it has been done. He's proved to us it has been done. He said, but preacher, they only had 190 million people. They had a lot less ground to cover. They had a lot less people to do it with. And they had a lot less to do it with. Hey, listen, one of our chaplains spent 7 months deployed with the Navy SEAL unit out of Coronado, California, through Afghanistan, different places. Hey, listen, God used him in such a way. He told me the other day on the phone, there's people calling him from Afghanistan now that he's back in Coronado, California, saying, what do I do about this preacher? What do I do about that preacher? How do I handle this preacher? Hey, God's still working. God still wants to get it done. He's just waiting for us to go do what we're supposed to do. How come the building's not full? Because it's snowing. No, the building's not full because we didn't go get them to bring them. I don't know. I'm about done. Amen. I know it's some of you about ready to have a heart attack. I don't have it with me. You know what we do a lot of times? We walk up to the preacher with a card and say, preacher, you know, so-and-so, would you go see them? Would you go see them? Well, why don't you go see them? You know what I did when I pastored? I put an end to that real quick. I carried a whole package of 3x5 cards in my pocket of people that I needed to see. And when they walked up and handed me a card and said, would you go see them? I said, yeah, if you'll go see these, amen. After a few months of that, they quit handing me cards. Amen. What's our job? You would say, well, it's another missions conference. All the preacher's going to do is get on our case about money again or something like that. No. It's about our responsibility. And what God says we are. What is the duty of man? And I'll just be honest with you, folks. I'm about tired of our young people going off to the world. I didn't say going off and working. I said going off to the world. Grow up in our churches. They hear what they're supposed to hear. They should be influenced in the right way, but why are they going off to the world? I'll tell you why, because they don't see nothing real in mom and dad's life. And so when they get 18 or 19, they go off. They say now, right now, that 3 out of 4 young people that grow up in independent, fundamental Baptist churches, when they turn 18, will leave. They say somewhere in the next 5 or 6 years, one of those 3 will come back. So what they're saying is we're effectively losing 50% of our young people. Why? Because they don't see anything real in mom and dad's life. More concerned about our new house, our new car, our next pair of shoes than we are about the fact that neighbor needs Jesus Christ. I sat with a man the other day, was talking to him, and he said, Brother Morrison, he was weeping. He said, my neighbor died last week, lost. He said, you know what? It's my fault. He said, I never talked to him one time. Lived beside him for years. He said, oh, yeah, I'd invite him to church, but he said to go over there and take a Bible, sit down and witness to him, tell him about Jesus Christ. He said, I never did it one time. And he said, as soon as they walked across the yard from another neighbor taking up a collection to buy flowers for the family, he said, and told me that he had died, he said, God smote my heart. When I pastored back in West Virginia, had a guy who was in our church, he got mad at me when we took on the first missionary. He said, we're throwing away money. I mean, there's only 20 of us in the church. And he said, we was going to give a missionary $35 a month to go to Spain. He said, we're throwing money away. We need stuff here. We need to keep that money here. I said, $35 is not going to change the world. I mean, it's the same guy that when we went out to buy a church van one day, and he was with us, him and 2 other men, and you know how long ago that was? We could buy a church van for $3,500. And the guy said, what do you think? I said, I think we'll take it. I said, well, you got to give us a moment. A couple days, we'll have to get back to the church, get all together, have a business meeting, get all that approved and all that kind of stuff. And they said, and the guy there that got mad at him because we took on a missionary, reached in his pocket, he said, Preach, you want to buy that van? He said, yeah. He laid $3,500 on the table and bought the van, cash money. And I was standing with my mouth gapped to him. He said, he had more money than that in his pocket. Yet he was mad at me because we wanted to give $35 to a missionary. And then he made the statement that I wanted to just touch him with the love of Jesus. He said, I got more money than that at home, preacher. This is the money I walk around with to buy stuff. And that same man stood in the graveyard 5 or 6 years later when his sister died an alcoholic, lost without Jesus Christ, and weeping and crying. He said, she went to hell. And I said, yeah, and it's your fault. All of a sudden now he's concerned. That's the way our churches operate in this world today. And it's a sad testimony that God can't get over our heart. And we realize our duty is not to get ahead in this world. Our duty is not to have a bigger house and a better job. Our duty is not to get ahead and accomplish more than everybody else accomplished. Our duty is to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it can be done. It will be done before we get out of here. So we just better get at our duty and get it done. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Pray you bless our time as we meet together this morning. I pray, Father, you just work as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen.